I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry by the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers.
All right, welcome to the bonus episode. This is take number two because of technical difficulties. All my fault, apparently. But it doesn't matter because we are back again on the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture preparedness and practical living. All right, y'all, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Remember, PIMP stands for permaculture is my passion. Also, Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And it's probably a good thing we did this all over again because I'm not going to screw up the last part. EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. And don't forget about Harvest Right freeze dryers. But instead of going through me, go through the guests I'm going to have on right now because you need to be checking out their YouTube channel anyway. Y'all, I'm really excited about what's going on today. I've been excited. It's one thing to do a regular program, but it's also another when you're doing one with people that you look up to and you admire in so many different ways and the way they do things. And I've been trying to reach out to them forever and a day, but they haven't been getting my emails. So, as the good Lord would have it, they finally, I guess, well, I'll tell you what, I'll get to that in a minute, folks. I'm really excited about the folks I got in here today, and they have a YouTube channel that is not only uplifting, it's always edifying. I'm always learning stuff. Even though I don't live in their climate, I learn fascinating, unbelievable stuff. And folks, who I have on with me today, if you're not watching on YouTube, is Black's Tropical Homestead. How y'all doing?
Doing great. How you doing, Billy?
Well, I'm a big fan. I'm doing great. I've been a big fan. I've been wanting to get y'all on forever and a day, but as a lot of the people to the Pimpcast know, you send in emails. Sometimes I get them, sometimes I don't. And there's a number of people out there, some of the guests I have on, Deep South Homestead, I get unsubscribed to. Another lady that lives in Georgia does a lot of canning, awesome videos. I get unsubscribed there. And one of the ones that I get, seems like every time I subscribe, I get unsubscribed, and that's Black's Tropical Homestead. So if y'all aren't subscribed right now, please make sure that you do because they have some of the most helpful, edifying videos you're going to find out there. So every superhero or superheroes has an origin story. Why don't y'all tell me about yours and acquaint the audience out there? There's only about 1 million people listening. So why don't you tell everybody out there what brought you to this work? Because I, as I understand it, like myself, you weren't born into a farm family.
No, no. First of all, I'm going to say, what's up, Soil Brothers and Soil Sisters.
That's right. I got the shirt on, too, y'all. Look, yes, if you're watching, bam, represent. Hey,
that was, it was early on, man. You supported us. Man, that, hey, we really appreciate that. You know, you say, send that shirt, you were wearing, you did it.
Well, I try to be, and I hope to do more and perhaps even some collaborations in the future. But why don't y'all tell everybody what brought y'all to this work? Because there's a lot of people out there, and y'all probably know it too. There are record numbers right now getting into the homestead space, and they feel like they don't know where to start, how to start, where to begin. Well, like me, y'all weren't born into this kind of lifestyle. How did you get into it? What made you get into it?
We didn't, you know, we didn't have a conscious decision to get into it. So it was just, you know, my husband, he was the start of it. So I just jumped on board with him.
Yeah, it just kind of happened, you know, growing. I came up in a family where my mom loved to grow all the time. And, you know, most of the time kids don't pay too much attention to all that. You know, you notice it, but you just kind of go on about your life. And then as I got older, not really older, but in my 20s, and I got my own home and settled down, you know, I decided to start growing some things. And all of a sudden, I felt what my mom felt, you know, that relaxing calm, you know, work just kind of melts away. Any problems going on just kind of melts away. And I kept that in my life, you know, up until now. So, you know, I happened into the bamboo farm where they was doing some research here in our city of Savannah, Georgia. And it was they were trying to figure out if they can actually grow bananas, make it a crop for Georgia. And I saw, I had no idea where bananas came from. I didn't know what they looked like, but I was amazed. And every day I went out there and I actually looked at that, and I talked to the doctors that was over it. And man, I ended up with probably 15 bananas in my yard.
Different varieties.
Yeah, different varieties. I had a garden, and that was about 30 years ago, you know. So I've been growing ever since, and during the pandemic, you know, my wife kind of got into it with me.
Yeah, it was, you know, I'm a nurse, so we brought a friend home because once everything started getting funny, we knew we would be home, and we couldn't go and be with her, which we did every single day. And she was 107, and we couldn't figure out how we gonna be here and she there and we not know what's going on. So we brought her home, and that's what we did for a while. But we started getting into things like dragon fruit, and you know, I had already started playing with making my own soap and making sure we had everything because things were looking funny on the outside. So during that time, you know, not only seeing a friend, she passed on her 108th birthday. She loved to dance. She loved to flirt and eat ice cream. Most people think in their 70s, 60s, 70s, you know, I'm just old. And she didn't show us that. She was 107, 108 and still having fun. So I said, we can do better. So my husband wanted meat birds. We ended up getting meat birds. First video we made was to show our family that, hey, we raised these chickens on our 1 acre suburban homestead and processed them ourselves. So a few weeks later, we were like, well, hey, let's put it on YouTube, share it. That way our grandkids and nieces and nephews and fam, everybody can see it. And that was not even 2 years ago. That was our mindset, to just share it with our family. And it took off from there.
And our friend that stayed with us, she was 107. She died on her 108th birthday. Mm-hmm. She actually lived on the island where she lived off the land. So that kind of put us in the mindset of something. There must be something to this because she wasn't in no pain. She just kind of peacefully went when it was her time.
Peaceful.
And we decided, you know, hey, let's try this. So everything we're doing now is just kind of, you know, moved along gradually.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you know, because she didn't do any of this.
I'm so terrified everybody
was amazed. So we're like, let's show people what you're doing.
I was terrified of a net, a fly, everything. And he would be like, it's okay, it's okay. A lizard running on. And I'm like, you got to get these lizards off the porch. Everything. So it took a while. I would see a frog in the garden and I'm like, okay, that's it for the day. And I would come in the house, but it took a lot. It took a team. And I always say that, you know, I could never do this alone. Not only do I need my husband, but we need our community too, because we thought seeds were silly. We were like, why are people growing all with seeds?
Yeah, you're going to go get a start from.
Yeah, go know, get a start, go get a tree. And the community taught us that, hey, you know how much food you can grow and the different variety of foods you can grow.
Yeah, that's not available to you no other kind of way but by seed.
That's so right. Because in the store, they're only giving you food on the basis of how long it stores and what it looks like. And like in your melon video a while back, you know, and looking at some of the harvest y'all are pulling in right now, you can't get that in the store.
You don't even hear about it.
No.
Unless you come on YouTube, it's a, you know, how to and learn all this different stuff. And we've learned so much in the year and 8-9 months that we've been here. It's amazing. Yeah, but it's a blessing.
We actually are going along learning as we go. Mm-hmm. We even learn that we probably shouldn't raise pigs in our suburban home with neighbors because Billy showed us how easy it would be to process
them. Let me tell you, Billy, that was my husband. I wanted pigs from the beginning, and he was like, she crazy. She just crazy. She ain't getting no pig. And one day he said, you know, I thought about the pig thing. We could put a pen in the back of our property and whatever. And I started looking. I was like, we can do this. 7 months, we can process these pigs. And then I ran across your processing. And I said, this dude processed these pigs, babe. You can do it. He did it. He didn't have any special equipment. Long as you get these cuts, I'm going to order this butchering book. We can do it. And he said, let's go for it. But we do live in the suburbs.
Yes. Yeah, so that's one thing we didn't make clear. We have neighbors. We live on 1 acre and we in the suburbs. That is not a good idea to have pigs in that situation.
But it worked.
Unless,
but it worked. Yeah. My neighbor said, we put the pigs out there, and he said, are those pigs?
No. Hey, no, these pigs identify as dogs. You can be anything you want these days. Those I don't see no Harleys. Pigs. Don't go calling the cops.
Those little Harleys. But that, I mean, for us, it was an adventure. And we know now that's another skill we got down. You know, you gave us the confidence we wouldn't have never got if we wasn't on YouTube to raise these pigs, do deep bedding. You couldn't smell them. And we were able to process them. We processed them early. But my husband and I got it done.
One thing we did realize, you know, pigs roop and they can be kind of disruptive. So yeah, that's what makes it bad for a smaller area, unless you live kind of in
away from people.
Yeah. You know, we actually know how to do it and we would love to do it again, but we can't do it here.
Well, you possibly could, but I mean, what I find absolutely astonishing is that most people that get into this don't even think about pigs until they're 5, maybe sometimes 10 years into this. Mm. And y'all did it pretty early on. Let's just back up to the pig thing right quick, because you're on a 1 acre lot, which is a lot of land. I mean, when you stop to think about it, that's the size of a football field. I mean, most people, that is a whole lot of land. An acre ain't nothing to sneeze at. And nothing to sneeze at. When I sit here and take stock of what y'all do out there, it's really mind boggling. So you've done videos on rabbits, chickens. I don't see the downside of doing the pigs. I mean, what was the biggest drawback for that? Was it the noise to the neighbors, or was it what?
Well, I think the biggest problem was when we got them, I think it was about 2 months in?
About 2 or 3 months in.
Man, we had nonstop rain. And they had dug.
Like 6 inches.
Yeah. So now they're sitting in a big pool. And of course, after a while, you know, you don't originally smell them, but once they said it's set in pools of water,
yeah,
then it started waffling off a little bit.
Oh, so they weren't covered? They weren't over a carport or anything like that?
They were under a bamboo forest. So wow. It would drain in there, and they were loving it, but yeah. That was the only time you could smell them.
I see. So y'all did it like Vietnamese style. I see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, with a few alterations, I don't see any reason. Did the neighbors complain, or what was their reaction to all this? Or
were they thinking that one of our neighbors did? But you know, we kind of close to all our neighbors but one.
Yeah,
and it's not that we're not friendly with them; it's just that we never see them, so we don't have no chance to deal with them. And all of a sudden, we had a knock on the door, and somebody said,
"Code enforcement."
And the thing is, the way our house is set up, you cannot see in our backyard at all unless you go into somebody else's backyard to actually look.
Yes, because so. All the other neighbors were saying, y'all had pigs? When did y'all have pigs? But that one that was right there.
Hey, for those.
He was frustrated because his dogs kept going towards.
I think you ought to do it again. And you know what? When you get to processing, give me a call. I'll be on the first thing smoking, because honestly, I would love for y'all to be the first people in history to take my advice when dealing with code enforcers. When they come knocking on the door, hey, you got pigs. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean I got pigs? Oh, you mean, no, those, they identify as chickens. They identify. I mean, if anybody can be whatever they want these days, my pigs can be whatever I say they are. So, hey, they identify as snapping turtles. I don't care what it is. I mean, It's really astonishing that y'all did this in a suburban neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I mean, it just goes to show that it can be done. And like you said, all it takes is one neighbor to just start tripping, and then it goes sideways.
Yep. And we take care of our neighbors. You know, we grow so much. I mean, probably got 100-ish fruit trees, so many vegetables. You know, we dabble with herbs and making our own medicine and soap and everything.
Yeah,
and he bees. Always tell them, bees, we giving them honey. He tell them, if you want to build a raised bed, just let me know. I'll come and help. So we... You know, we stay in contact with our neighbors and make sure that everybody eating. But, you know, I don't know what people think will happen if something worse come down the pike. What are you going to do? Who are you going to depend on? You know, if you making us look like the bad guys for trying to grow and raise our own food, what are you going to do when you can't go to the store and get it?
That's right.
We tell people all the time, don't wait until something bad happened to try to learn this, because it's not just that cut and dry. You're going to have some skills to know exactly what you need to do to get this stuff to grow. You know, if these stores actually shut down and there's no food to be got,
you went a lot of people in trouble.
Yeah.
Including us. But they in trouble, because
we're going to eat. We might not eat everything we want, but we're going to eat.
Yeah.
I'm with that. And what I love also is that you throw another element into the whole homesteading thing that I don't think is covered enough. And it's what you're getting off the environment. Like when you went out there fishing that day, I know you didn't wind up with Moby Dick or anything like that. Hey, and I was wondering, can y'all grab some kids up to snatch up them crabs for bait? Y'all need to take some kids fishing, man.
See, he love it.
Going after these little old crabs.
Mm-hmm. He love it. And, you know, that's why I just pray for the alligators that they don't come out of the hole on us and go with them. But he love it. So,
yeah, she think it's an alligator everywhere. She think our ditch got alligators in it. So,
what I find fascinating about what it is you do is that you're showing it that it can be done in a magnificent layer at the homestead level, like just with your turmeric alone. I had no idea till I watched your channel that there were that many different types of turmeric. I had no idea that soap plant, I don't even know, you're going to tell me about that one, the soap plant. I'm like, hold up. I told Michelle, I said, you got to see this. They're up here growing soap off this plant I never even heard of before. But it's the beauty of YouTube, where when I see people like yourselves who are putting out fantastic, uplifting, but helpful content, where I'm literally thankful that I watched, because, you know, it has a feel-good message. It's always upbeat. I walk away feeling great. And then also learn something. Like, in terms of, let's say, like the stores go sideways. Well, you know, Bobby, you got a skill that most people don't have. Or, you know, hunting, like I got. Or I'm a fisherman to a certain extent. I haven't fished I can relate to you in your video where you say you don't fish near as much as you'd like to. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember the last time I've been fishing, and we got world-class trout fishing up here in these mountains. Mm-hmm. But the point of it being is that if push come to shove, you at least have got the skills to go out there and procure food from the ocean and from a whole variety of other places. I mean, you got to feel pretty good about being able to do that.
Yes, I do, man. And I ain't gonna lie, you know, coming up, it wasn't about that. You know, I just end up enjoying it. And it wasn't about, you know, trying to survive. I just love the fish. I love the hunt. I love everything about it. And now that, you know, it's become a time in life where they may be necessary, I'm glad that I actually have it and I love it. So it's amazing. This whole lifestyle is so common. That's one of the things we try to do. We bring like-minded people together, and we try to, you know, make sure that we know each other so we can rely on each other to get a lot of stuff done. We learn so much during the time we have done this. The plants that we buy, we find out the medicinal properties of it, and we'd be like, wow, you know, let's share this with everybody, because we didn't know it, and we're amazed by it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody else would be too. And a lot of the stuff that, you know, people taking for whatever illness they have, it comes from a lot of these plants that we have. Yeah. So those are the active ingredients.
Yeah, we got the main ingredients. Yeah. We just need to learn that this is the main ingredient. So why am I taking this that's full of all this crap? Mm-hmm. So even when we go to the doctor, I talk about it and I tell them, you know, we drink hibiscus tea all the time. That is great for blood pressure and you know, inflammation, and we grow cayenne or different hot pepper. We don't need all these prescriptions. We just need to be educated on what we can use and be consistent on how to use it. So,
yeah.
I love
it. We got a doctor that actually studied, you know, herbal medicine also, and he believed in it and pretty much pushes her, hey, just do this stuff. You don't need this, you know, just take the stuff that you're taking.
Yeah.
Because he watched our video.
Yeah.
He said, you got the stuff. He said, use it, and, you know, and then we'll check you. And if you need more, then we'll adjust it from there.
Yeah.
You know, it's astonishing when I watch your, stuff. Let's go back to the turmeric, for example. I make turmeric capsules, get the organic stuff, but what I'm buying is not even in the ballpark of what you're growing. And y'all got several different types. And like, I can't remember who said it, but let food be thy medicine and let medicine be thy food. Yep. And how you're overlaying the two where it can be delicious and in unbelievably healthy all at the same time. I got to be honest, y'all. Don't get me wrong. There's things I can grow up here that you can't grow, but there's certainly things that you grow that I can't grow.
Yes.
Like you were talking, like down there, I imagine brassicas are going to be pretty hard to get, you know, come up. Yes. But it's not a problem up here. There's apple trees we get up here that maybe down there, there's only maybe one or two apple varieties you can even think about growing down there. But when I see your stuff and I see all this incredible variety out there and the spaces that you got it in is just plain beautiful, but it's medicinal. It's all these different things. And I'm thinking y'all got way more experience than what you're telling me. I mean, what I see demonstrated there, I've been at this a long, long time. What I see demonstrated there looks like it came from people that have been at this for decades. Oh, and it's just y'all figured it out along the way and made it look fantastic.
Yeah, we do a lot of research.
Yeah, we do. That's one thing we do. We do research and we make sure what we're putting out there. We try to make sure we know what we're talking about. We experiment with it, and we actually be able to tell people from experience some of the stuff that we're telling them. So we're not pulling nothing from nowhere but the facts. And then we don't actually listen all the way to that. Yeah. You know, like stuff that we grow, all the stuff we can't really grow here, but we actually grow.
It's a lot of work, but you know.
Yeah, you're in the subtropics, but I see y'all growing tropical stuff. Right. So that's what's even more fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be done. You know, it just is work. But this is this is my full-time job. Bobby does work, but we live pretty much a traditional lifestyle where he work and I'm the house manager. I keep up with the cleaning, washing clothes. I do all the cooking. And so we travel, but we do a lot of research in these plants too, because we know our food is our medicine. And, we want to make sure if we're growing turmeric, we're growing the best. So we make sure we travel and go and get the best of what we need. And what are we going to use it for? Like black turmeric is the best turmeric you can use. It's better than the orange turmeric. It's disgusting, but the benefits are amazing. So why not grow it if we can grow it? So that's what we do.
I didn't even know that was until y'all made me aware of it. I didn't even know that. And I take, like I said, I'll spend a fortune to get turmeric so I can turn back around, put it in capsules. And I'm like, okay, after I watched that video, I was like, man, I'm missing a boat on this. But that's the beauty. This is why everybody out there really ought to go check y'all out, because you have the fantastic overlay of astonishing information, fantastic information. And you recognize, I think, also that you have to be able to package it where it's digestible. You can't just get up in front of a camera and say, all right, here's what I got, blah, 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 blah. Y'all make it entertaining and palatable and fun. Yeah. And something that I'm wanting to try, like, for example, you got to tell me about this. I know you're using it as moisturizer, but I'm sitting there watching you squeeze this pine cone looking thing, filling up a Tupperware thing with it. Please tell everybody out there, because in these times where, like you said, things are going to get tighter and tighter and tougher and tougher, please tell everybody what that is, because, okay, as a person that's in the preparedness, I got tons of soap put back, but eventually I'm going to run out. And if I ever intend to get my groove on again, I can't be stinking. So you got to tell me what's up with this this soap plant. I mean, please tell everybody out there. You may save some marriages with this, Sherry.
So you can grow everything. We grow our own food, medicine, toilet paper, soap. I can't think of anything else, but the shampoo ginger, it's called shampoo ginger. Awapui is native of Hawaii, and it grows from a rhizome. But a friend gave me that plant years ago before I even knew anything about plants. Because when I met my husband, it was in a pot outside my door, dead. So when we bought this house, he was like, I want this pot. He dumped it out. When it grew back.
Sounds like me.
Yep, he was like, I need this pot. This plant got to go. I don't know what it is, but he dumped it out and it grew back. And I started doing research. What my friend told me, he said, this is what Paul Mitchell used to make this shampoo, this Awapui shampoo for hair. And I said, okay, it's pretty. But over the years, the last year and a half or so, I've been doing my research. Come to find out, you know, you can use it to moisturize your skin, or if you have a cavity, you can use the rhizome to fill a cavity, or you can use the stem to flavor your food. So many things, but you just squeeze the nectar out of it and leave it. It'll refill. So I just constantly go back and squeeze it, and we make bar soap with it.
So you literally make soap out of it. I mean, wow.
You can make soap out of it. You can use it straight from the plant. In Hawaii, they just put it in their hair straight from the plant, and it helps moisturize their hair, cleanse the hair.
So that's yet another tropical plant that y'all have managed to adapt to the subtropic environment. That's pretty impressive, along with a number of other things out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can grow it in a pot, but I always say put it out when it's warm so it can grow and flourish, but take those rhizomes and bring some in the house and keep them going.
I'm going to have to get some of that.
It is like we grow tropical plants and we have failed. You know, it's been plants that we have tried to grow and we failed, but we keep on trying until we figure out a way to be able to be successful at growing it. So it's always a work in progress.
Yeah. Like if we want mangoes, we need to figure out how to grow mango. So we know that our last winter was brutal. And it took our mango out. Okay, we got more mangoes. We're going to bring them in the house this year. So it's work. You can grow things in a pot. We love jackfruit and, you know, all these different exotic fruits. Pineapple, we'd rather have them from our home. If the store go down, we just going to do without pineapple? No. So getting the skills now of what is it we want or what is it we'll need to survive. And we definitely need medicine, but we need food too. So get what we need now and get this skill down and we okay.
And by the way, guys, pineapple grown from home is amazing.
Amazing.
And most people can do it, you know, do it in a pot. They will fruit. You will get you some nice fruit from, but man, actually having a pineapple all the way to ripeness and then cut it. Oh my goodness.
And freeze dry it. We eat ours, but if you freeze dry,
they don't even make it to a freeze dry because man, it's so good. Once you start eating, it's done.
It won't even make it.
No, it won't make it.
See, that's exactly what we got. Like up here, as part of our food forest, we got strawberries coming out. We probably had 100 gallons of strawberries. Can't even give them all away. I mean, we got an ice cream place in town that makes homemade ice cream. Okay, they'll take some of the strawberries and. Yeah. We pretty much give them away. They're a byproduct, but it's beautiful to be able to see what grows like out of control up here. I'm hearing you talk about jackfruit and all this other stuff that I can't even think about growing up here, but you're able to do it down there and you're doing some pretty impressive stuff because, I just can't get over how much y'all are able to pack on 1 acre and still looks like there's plenty of space.
It is.
Yeah, we do have space. I told my husband he couldn't go no further out towards the road. So we can have a little grass there, but that may end up being raised beds one day. And in the back, we got a lot of trees. So we keep the animals on the side where it's shaded because most of our plants need a lot of sun.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about community. You know, a lot of folks that are getting into this, and as we all know, that there are record numbers, whether it's the inflation that's causing it, mm-hmm. or people just realizing that the world's on shaky ground and they got to bust a move, they got to do something. Mm-hmm. How have y'all, and this is almost a rhetorical question, because I noticed that y'all even have like get-togethers and some kind of community get-togethers. I mean, talk to me about that, how you're able to build community, because one of the biggest problems that folks are having out there are finding like-minded people. Mm-hmm. But it seems like y'all have been really, really good at that. Why don't you tell everybody how you've been able to put some of this together?
Man. So to start, my husband can explain it better, but we stay away from things that separate us because, mm-hmm. you know, is always something to separate us, whether it's color, religion, race. Oh, I said that.
Politics.
Sex, yeah. Politics. We just stay away from it because as soon as somebody say, oh, I voted, oh, I worship, you know, it's like you look at them different then.
Yeah.
So we stay away from that.
There's so many amazing people and they do amazing things. And it's usually that one little thing that makes you not like that person. And what we do, we try to not even know that. We don't want, you know, whatever.
As long as you're a good person.
You know, your politics is yours, your God is yours. Yeah, we can see your color. Okay, whatever. You know, makes no difference to us.
As long as you're not a butthole,
you
know. And some of us are, but it's all in how you've been this person. So long as you are overall a good person, we can deal with it. But then we realize that people are afraid of people because you just see what you see on TV or what you hear on TV. And we decided, well, let's do this little meetup around the fountain downtown. Savannah is beautiful. Grab something to eat, have some drinks, dance a little bit, have fun. And we created Soil Family Expo. Mm-hmm.
And before that, we got on YouTube now, grant you. We didn't even really watch YouTube before we got on. So we knew very little. We didn't even know people had chats and all the stuff. So when we got on YouTube, we actually got on there doing what we thought we should be doing, what we thought that YouTube would like, you know, being good people, promoting goodness. And it actually worked for us. Now, we realized later on that wasn't really how YouTube worked, but it actually kind of worked for us.
Yeah.
And we actually started meeting people. And we said, they're like, wow. I mean, you realize that it's a bunch of cool people in the world.
That have been on YouTube together for years. Oh, they've been in the same chat, but never met in person. And we were like, why? Mm-hmm. That's weird, right?
Yep.
So we would invite people to this expo, which was our meetup, and the first year we had maybe 50 people, and we thought that was great. We were able to partner with the Savannah Children's Museum and teach the kids, have a day, you know, of service where we could teach the kids all about animals and growing their own food and what to do with it. But what we did was we invited some of the YouTubers to come and be vendors. If you specialize in this, that's what we want you to talk about. We want to teach the kids, but the parents don't have a clue either. So you're teaching the whole family. And we were blessed to bring it back again this year. And it like just blew up, which was amazing to see, having live bands. And my husband always say, kind of get people out of the garden, get them, you know, having fun. And so we can get to know each other because we need to be able to barter with each other. Like you said, we can grow things that there's no point in you even thinking about trying to grow. And vice versa. You can grow things that we can't. So why should we not barter together to get things done? You can get things done on a bigger scale. So together, we are stronger.
Mm-hmm. We have people send us amazing plants and seeds, and we have done the same to them. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff that they didn't know about, you know, we talk about, and they can actually, you know, try to grow and do themselves. So it's been amazing. We try to push the fact that, you know, you get to know your neighbors.
Yeah.
There are more people just like you around that other people think strange. because we doing what we do. You know, get to know them, man. You know, you might can't grow all this, and then maybe they can't grow all of that, but y'all can swap with each other. Yeah, you know, yeah. So it's been an amazing journey. You know, we don't profess to be ultra professionals at nothing. We just, you know, we learn, we do deep dives into what we do,
yeah,
and then we share it with the people that wants to learn the stuff that we know. And
that's
we
what learn I from others. That's what I find so awesome about your channel is the authenticity. It doesn't, I don't feel like I'm being duped. I don't feel like I'm, you know, I get the impression that what I see is the real deal, is the real people and people that have put in the work, which is extremely rare these days. But I know, look, I can't help but bring this up. And if this is outside the realm of what you want to discuss, I got to ask. Like you were saying a moment ago that you're basically colorblind when it comes to all this stuff, as I believe we all should be. But I got to know, I mean, some of the biggest critics I have, and I've been at this a long, long time, me and my younger brother and my oldest brothers. I mean, we've been all doing this to some extent or another for a long, long time. And the biggest critics that we've come across in doing this is other people of color. They would make fun of us saying, oh, hey, Django, what you doing out there? And all this other, you know, have y'all, I mean, they're being funny. And of course I get the joke, but by and large, the biggest criticism or people wondering why we're growing food came from other people in this community. I'm wondering if you've experienced any of that or why it is most people of color are reluctant to examine this way of life, even though it's so rich and fulfilling.
Yeah, I don't think we had nobody to actually
never. I mean, you know, we tend to lean towards people that embrace the same type of world we do.
Yeah.
And most people that don't live this type of lifestyle, once they introduce, it's like, man, what? Like, even when I go, I'm from Virginia. When I go back home, it's amazing to see this little garden in my mom's yard and a garden in my brother's yard. I'm like, okay. So y'all are learning something. We haven't ran across, most people don't. I mean, either they like us or they don't.
And I could care less one way or the other. But, you know, I do want people to actually like and respect us and what we do. But if you don't,
yeah, it's okay.
Just, you know, there you go over there. Yeah. You know, our neighbors, they don't know nothing about growing. But once they actually came over and they was introduced to what we do, they love it. They like, I've never had a tomato that tastes like this ever in my life. Yeah. And I love tomatoes and beans and, you know, rabbit. We just introduce them to rabbit, you know.
They think like, at first it's like, y'all eat rabbit? Y'all eat this? Yeah, you should try it. So we'll cook it. And we'll bring it to you. And it's like, so what does it take to raise rabbit? And how do you process them? Oh, so now you got a different outlook. So I think it's...
Come on over.
Yeah, we don't mind. Like, oh, I'm terrified of bees. Come here. Let's just stand here and talk.
So you're evangelizing the best kind of way. You're giving them... I mean, this is fantastic for me because I usually go with the old frontal assault and either you're going to like it or you ain't. But I'm realizing talking to you that really the better approach, I need to maybe soften my approach because it seems like y'all are catching a whole, forgive the obvious pun here, but you're catching way more flies with honey.
Right, right. I mean, if you show people, you know, a different way and you show them in a way that they can accept, generally they will be okay with it. But, you know, there's always those people, but... Who cares? Let them be.
Yeah, even like with Soil Family Expo, being downtown and everybody drinking and the band was playing and people were dancing and we let the public come in and mingle because we wanted to be able to tell them that we are celebrating homesteading and gardening and farmers. And this one lady, she was taking pictures of everybody. And I said, she must be with the news. I don't know who she is. And she would get right up in your face and take a picture. And I said, are you with the news? And she said, no, I don't know what, I'm going to keep it clean. She said, I don't know what this is, but I love it. I don't know what it is. And I told her, I said, we are homesteaders. And these people are from all over the world coming to Savannah to celebrate and encourage people to grow your own food. and she thought it was amazing. Yeah.
Everybody had this preconception of what we look like, or who we are.
We are normal people.
But when we go out, we do the same thing other people do. We like to have fun. We like to eat. We like to enjoy our families and our friends. And this is what we look like when we do that. That might not look what we look like when we get home.
but we clean up well.
We regular people, you know, that has a have a mindset that's a little different than some of the people. You know, people living for right now, and they're not thinking about tomorrow at all. And we're kind of looking at more tomorrow, and and we're trying to push a little bit more of a forward thinking than what's going on. And we're doing it, trying to do it in a way that's palatable, you know?
Yeah. And that's one thing I really love about how you go about it, is that your approach is disarming. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I mean, it's making me reexamine the way I do things, where I'm realizing that, you know, there's times to be a little less lion and a lot more fox about how things are presented, where you don't have to do the whole frontal assault thing. Yours, I think, is a far more effective tool, because as I'm watching the expo unfold, or at least the clip you had online of it, it was the most festive environment you could possibly imagine. I was like, man, I wish I was there.
It was like we bought it.
I mean, it looked like it was just straight fun. I'm seeing white folks that can't dance out there trying, and
not just white folks, but you saw handicapped people throwing their canes down so
It was the whole constellation of everything out there, but it just looked fantastic, and it was like Tom Joyner calls a party with a purpose. That's what it looked like to me, and it was you know, I think you're doing fantastic work, and I think honestly so what do y'all have coming up in the future? I mean, what plans do you have for the homestead? What plans do you have for your expo? Do you intend to grow it? You know, when can folks look to be a part of that? And is it open to the public, the regular public?
So Soil Family Expo is open to anybody. You don't have to be a YouTuber. You don't have to be a gardener, honestly. When you leave, you probably will be, because we're going to give you tons of seeds and show so much love when it comes to gardening and homesteading that you'll feel like, I need to grow a tomato plant or something. But it's open to anybody, because most people are afraid of change. And we are going back to these old ways. So it's a change that is not familiar. But when you meet people, so many people that love it and show you how peaceful it is, you know, it's amazing. But we do have 2024 set for April 6th, it's the beginning of April. But I'll send you the information the first weekend in April, and we make it a weekend event so that, you know, we can break the ice with a little meet and greet. We try to do things outside before it get too hot in Savannah, so people can be comfortable and have fun, you know, and enjoy the sights and sounds of Savannah.
And the thing is, guys, you know, we say everybody is included. If you just a nasty person, we don't want you. You know, not even on our channel. I'm you know, just gonna be, because what we're trying to promote is togetherness and being good to each other. Just, you know, we want people to come and actually enjoy themselves, enjoy meeting each other. And we had people crying when it was time to leave, because this thing had brought things back. You know, depending on where you're from, you probably never actually had real community. Mm-hmm. We had people who are called strange because they grow gardens in the yard.
Yeah, the family just abandoned them.
Yeah, they just don't, you know, but they can come with us, and actually people appreciate them and respect them. And they see that and they just love it, you know. So it's been an amazing thing. We want to grow it. We want to grow it. The state of same to actually be people who love what they do and are appreciated for what they do and what they share. So
we working on the hard part, which is finances. You know, we don't charge for Soil Family Expo. You pay to get, I think it's $10 to get in the Children's Museum. That go to the Children's Museum. We do use their staff, you know, to keep things running smoothly, because we can't pack that place out. And for dinner, if you decide you want to sit down, we have a family style Southern dinner where you sit down and they bring you all the fried chicken or smothered pork chop and whatever you want. And you sit down, they just load the table up and you pass the peas, please.
Where's this place at? I mean, hey, I'm coming. Hey, y'all put the word out. I'll tell everybody. You just got me right there because that's my kind of food. I mean.
Yes. We just sit down. All we do is enter that building and sit down and eat. We choose three meats. Mm-hmm. I think, well, I don't know what we have. Gumbo, smothered pork chop, fried chicken. Then we had a tossed salad and mac and cheese and all this. I mean, dessert. You can have alcohol. You just order that separately. But we do tons of giveaways throughout this whole thing. But, you know, that's what it's about. Fun, family, and food.
And the thing is, it is a nonprofit. And so finances are always something we working towards. You know, we don't have nothing set in stone for us. How are we going to pay for everything that we do? So that's always stressful for me. My wife, she don't stress about it. But I'm like, you want to do
that? Like, the band going to cost how much? It's okay, babe. We got it. It's okay.
Yeah. But, so, you know, I'm the person who take care of the finances, so I'm always stressing about that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you should have to go out. I mean, I know a lot of people, especially after COVID and everything, everybody was going out of their way to try to put on, you know, some sort of gathering because everybody just felt so starved for so long, not being able to do these things. And then when we were finally able to do it, everybody cut loose. But, you know, hey, just something to consider. If you did charge for this, nobody's going to hate you for it because, honestly, there's not a festival out there. You go through the effort of trying to put something on like that, myself included. We always feel guilty because we got to charge something or I'm eating the cost.
Yeah.
There was time I used to do – I couldn't give away a free butchery class 5 years ago. But now everybody and the great-grandmother is – they want a professional butcher like me to show up, and they're willing to pay handsomely for it.
Right.
I get that. But at the same time, it's not – it's not a bad thing to have to charge money for this thing because honestly, I would gladly help pay. I mean, to go to something like this and also help promote it. I mean, just because, I mean, I love the idea of everything y'all are doing. It's genuine. It's authentic. Where we see a whole lot of people out there these days that are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. It's always a joy when I come across people that are really just joyful. Every single video I watch of y'all, there's not one time I'm not smiling by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I would love to actually meet these. So thank God the Google people actually let the email go through this time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm probably going to have to resubscribe to your channel 3 days from now after they cut me back off again. I'm like, how does this keep happening to the same doggone channels? But sorry, I don't mean to digress, but the point being is that if you did charge a fair amount for something like this, I still think you would put butts in seats because number one, it's a location that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go there. It's an environment where I'm only like 5 hours away from there. You said Savannah, right? So I'm about five and a half hours away, but I'm literally leaving the mountains at 3,000 feet to go to sea level, which for me might as well be to the other side of the planet because the vegetation we got here, it's totally different from what you got there. So for me, it's an education in a world that I don't live. I live in the mountains, you know, and I would be on the first thing smoking down there. It just looks like a fantastic time of good fellowship and just a wonderful time. So what other plans besides the expo that you do? What do you have any long-term plans that you have for your general homestead or where you live? Do you intend to expand? Do you intend to do classes or anything like that? Or what's on the horizon for you?
Well, we haven't got that far. You know, of course, you know.
Working on growing.
Yeah.
You know, growing our
channel. Yeah.
Yeah.
We would love to be able to have a bigger homestead. But if that's not in the card, we can make what we got work.
Yeah.
You know.
We always plan. You know, we always put our dreams into. We talk about them when we traveling. That's what we talk about. We ride in Florida. We talk about how we want, you know, cows and all this different stuff. But, you know, that's not something that we really can see right now. So we make do with what we have, and mm-hmm. we get a lot done right here. The world can shut down, and long as we have this 1 acre, we're going
to
eat good.
And we actually go to places. We got friends that's a little more in the country that mm-hmm. we can go there and watch what they do. Always amazed. Like, the kind of property that you got. Like, people just don't understand the kind of work that is required for that.
Yeah.
I mean, people talking about they want to go and they want to buy this homestead. Make sure you are set up to where you can manage that.
Yeah.
Not everybody could do that. Not everybody is, you know, young enough to actually have learned it and know how to handle it now. And I mean, it's a ton of work.
Yeah.
And I'm always amazed to see how people actually get it done. Like, I be out here and I'm like, good Lord. It's like work is never going to stop. So I can imagine having 10, 20, even 50 acres. Like, how in the world? And yeah, I see people put fences around all that stuff and separate stuff off. I'm like, the amount of work that is required is crazy. Dedication.
Yeah, but you're doing it the smart way in that mm-hmm. what most people don't realize is if you do have large acreage like I do, you always develop around your house first. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what y'all did by mm-hmm. virtue of where you live. Mm-hmm. You gotta, I mean, people are thinking, oh, what do I do on the other side of the property? You ought not to be worried about that until you find out what's going on at the driveway, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. See what you got planting alongside the driveway and around mm-hmm. the house, because you see those areas every day.
Mm-hmm.
And but y'all didn't make that mistake. I mean, you know, they call us in for a consultation. We get out there and we find out, okay, well, you ain't got nothing growing near the house. Where do you spend most of your time? At the house? Okay, so why are you worried about developing something that's a quarter mile away? You need to be worried about this. And that's the beauty about your homestead is that everything, and honestly, the proof is in the pudding. All statistics show that I guarantee you are more productive on your 1 acre than 99% of the people that are on 100 acres. That's a fact.
Wow.
That's a fact. And the reason why is because your concentration, when a person has 100 acres, they're doing all this in 10,000 different directions. But when you have 1 acre, you are forced to direct all your efforts in the most efficient way possible.
Right.
That's why when I look at your channel and I see, oh man, they got this going, they got this going, having this stuff I ain't never even heard of before. I didn't know that there wasn't more than one kind. I only thought there was two types of turmeric. Y'all got them all. You got the whole ecosystem right there at your place. But most people that have 100 acres wouldn't even, your attention is so divided that you don't even take advantage of the space that's closest to you. And y'all have done a magnificent job of doing that. So, hey, before we close down here, y'all, what is the best way for folks to support you? Tell them anything you want to know, how to get a hold of you. Drop anything you want right now.
Well, we can be found on YouTube and Facebook now. Our email is blacktropicalwithoutapostrophes@gmail.com. We do have a website, soilfamily.org. Other than that, hey.
Yeah, I mean, we have some apparel, a soil brother, and a soil sister.
Sure, yeah.
We have a merchandise store, Press and Sew at Black Tropical Homestead. So we got a lot of stuff going on. You know, we do sell some things like cayenne salve and freeze-dried items. But we just stay busy all the time. You can hear the quail in the background hatching and chirping. We just busy, but this is how you stay on top of things. You constantly picking at and moving.
And guys, we probably not the best business people, but that's going to come later. What we're trying to do is do what we're doing. You know, we're trying to, you know, grow, trying to share what we know and build our community. And, you know, yeah, money is needed. Money is necessary, you know, but, you know, we need to focus on that. Maybe a little bit later.
Yeah. No, you're doing the right things. You're becoming competent first.
Right.
You're becoming very competent before you decide to put foot to butt on other matters. And and frankly, I've seen it too much where folks go the other way around, where they're worried about becoming superstars before knowing how to be really, really competent at what it is they do. But your authenticity shines through. Folks, go check them out. Black's Tropical Homestead on YouTube and all the other places, y'all. Thank you so much for being with me. Until next time, y'all, stay alert, stay alive.
Bottom where it's hollow. My golems wanna follow rules that go below a Gartha. They want me to chase my sins, but I'm not here to stay with them. Keep a hollow chain, but I don't